Thank you. Well, if you're not inspired yet, you better check your pulse. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this Ascension Sunday. We're delighted that you've chosen to join us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just recently begun attending, we would like to express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. Now, while there are a number of ways to do that, perhaps the best is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find a lot of opportunities in your bulletin insert to do just that. I'm going to lift up just a few. First of all, I would like to introduce our guests who are helping to lead worship today. They are the New York City Children's Chorus from Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church. Mary Huff is their artistic director. Welcome to all of you. We're delighted that you're here to share your gifts with us in worship. And you might be interested to know that Mary Huff is also the director of the Junaluska Singers at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. So there's a Methodist connection there as well. Welcome. Our combined summer Sunday school series begins next Sunday, June 4th in McWhirter Hall. Local author and educator and attender at West End, Michael McCray, will explore the historical roots, contested theology, and current realities of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That begins next Sunday, 9:45 a.m. in McWhirter Hall. I know you won't want to miss a single session of this wonderful summer series. Also, we need volunteers for our Sunny Day Club. The Sunny Day Club is a respite program for people in the early stages of memory loss. We're at capacity, not because of room, but because of the number of volunteers we have. We could grow if we had more volunteers. The Sunny Day Club meets on Mondays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you feel a nudge or an urge to do this, please contact the Reverend Erin Racine and let her know. We would love to have you involved in this really, really wonderful ministry. Also, it's time to update our pictorial directory. We'll be receiving a new senior pastor and a new associate pastor in July, and you have no idea what a help it is for someone coming in to serve as a new staff person at a church to have an up-to-date and complete pictorial directory, which means all of you need to sign up to get your photographs made, okay? It's a huge help. It happened when I came here, and it was a big help to me. I know it will be a help to Carol and Brandon as they come in, and believe it or not, it'll be a help to you as well. As we are welcoming Carol and Brandon, we're asking the congregation to wear your name tags as often as possible. You can start practicing now. Some of you didn't know we had name tags. Well, we do. And you can wear them, and people can call you by name and know who you are, especially your new staff members. If you don't happen to have a name tag, you can go to Reed Hall after this service and order one. Now, we're asking for a donation of $3 to cover the cost of the name tag, but you know, if you can't afford $3, we can spring you that amount of money, but you got to promise to wear it every Sunday afterwards, okay? Our church offices will be closed tomorrow, Monday, for the Memorial Day holiday. And I'd like to announce that on Saturday, June 10th, we welcome the Nashville Concerto Orchestra back to West End for a concert at noon that day. We hope you'll join us, and we hope you'll bring a friend. Don't you just love waiting? Waiting for the service to start, except today you had a wonderful, wonderful experience of waiting. Or maybe waiting for the service to be over. Or waiting in line at the grocery store. Or waiting in line at the buffet. Or waiting for the light to change. Waiting is a big part of our lives, and not many of us like it. So it's kind of surprising that Jesus tells his disciples, your job is to wait. Stick around, we'll talk more about that.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let everyone who loves the Lord rejoice and gladly praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Clap your hands, shout for joy. We open our hearts to the ascended Lord, who sits on the throne of glory. Jesus has entrusted the ministry of God's love to us. You may be seated. Let us confess the incongruity between our faith and practice. O Lord, we have not lived our lives as kingdom people. We place our crowns on hopelessness, fear, and selfishness. We are ruled by our schedules and our need for control. We forget that your kingdom draws near to us on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, we pray. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom. Amen. May the power of Jesus Christ be made visible in your life. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and empowered to serve.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to do so. You can bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend if that makes you feel better. You know, when I was young, like you, I hated to wait. You know, when I was 7, I had to wait a whole year until I was 8. When I was in the 4th grade, I had to wait a whole year until I could start the 5th grade. And Christmas, oh my goodness, from the day after Christmas to the next Christmas was about 100 years. Or that's what it felt like. I did not like waiting for anything. Oh my goodness. But I had to. I couldn't hurry it up. I had a friend in college who, when I would say, "Oh, I just can't wait for something to happen," he would always say, "I bet you do." And sure enough, I always did. Even when we went to visit family or they came to visit us, this is a holiday weekend. And on holiday weekends, my family would come visit us or we would go visit them. And while I was waiting for them to come, I would look out that trailer window and I would just stare and wait and stare and wait. And I would ask my mom, you know, "How soon are they going to get here?" "In a little while." Well, that wasn't good enough. I wanted to know. I wanted them there right now. So she would usually give me something to do in the meantime. "Why don't you set the table? Why don't you help me with these biscuits?" And sure enough, as I did something, it passed the time, and before I knew it, they were there. Even when we were going to visit them, when we were driving up through the country in Stewart County, "How long will it be till we get there?" I would ask. My mom would say, "Well, it won't be long." And then she would give me something to do in the meantime. She would say, "Why don't you count the cows along the way?" And that helped pass the time. Well, now, in today's story that you just heard read and that I'm going to talk about, Jesus tells his followers and his friends, "You wait here in Jerusalem." And they did wait, but they didn't just wait. There were some things that they did while they were waiting. I want you to listen for those things, and if you come out my door, you can tell me what you noticed that those disciples of Jesus did while they were waiting. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being with us when we have to wait. Thank you for giving us something to do, important things to do, because we know that anything you give us to do is important. Help us in everything we do to share the loving light of Christ with everyone we meet and everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. Thanks for coming down. There are pastors who begin and end with a prayer. I don't typically do that, but today I am going to begin with a poem, which in a way is kind of a prayer, and end with a prayer, which in a way is kind of a poem. I want to begin with Marie Howe's poem, "The Gate." It's from a collection of hers called "What the Living Do." It's a collection of poems written during the time that she was living with her brother as he was living with AIDS, and from the time following his death. This poem is called "The Gate." "I had no idea that the gate I would step through to finally enter this world would be the space my brother's body made. He was a little taller than me, a young man, but grown himself by then, done at 28, having folded every sheet, rinsed every glass he would ever rinse under the cold and running water. 'This is what you've been waiting for,' he used to say to me. I would say, 'What?' And he'd say, 'This,' holding up my cheese and mustard sandwich. And I would say, 'What?' And he would say, 'This,' sort of looking around." What Howe captures in that poem is what most of us miss. While we're waiting for something, we don't recognize the presence that is already there. This, folks, is what we're waiting for. It's right here and it's right now. In the story today, we get a selection that comes from the very beginning of the second volume of a two-volume work. The first volume we call The Gospel According to St. Luke. That, of course, is about the life of Jesus, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, appearances. And then Luke is not satisfied with just telling that story. He decides there's another story to tell about the early followers of Jesus, and he calls that the Acts of the Apostles, or actually we call it that. It doesn't have a title in the original earliest manuscripts that we have. It could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, maybe better called that. In any case, at this very beginning, he gives a little summary of the end of the first volume, and then he describes the encounter that you heard read today between Jesus and his followers who are in Jerusalem. They want to know, is this the time that you're going to throw the Romans out? Is this the time that you're going to reestablish the throne of David? That you're going to be the king? That we're going to be your closest counselors? See, this was their dream, and they thought it had shattered when Jesus was crucified. But now that he's back, they're back to the old dream. When's that going to happen? Is this the time? And Jesus stops that in a heartbeat. He says, whoa, 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 that is way above your pay grade. That is not for you to know. But I do have a job for you. Your job is to wait here in Jerusalem. And while you're waiting, watch and listen. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to come in and do things that you never imagined, that you couldn't predict, and that you don't control. Well, they had no idea what that could be. Now, in this story, a lot of people like to focus on the ascension, on Jesus being there and not being there, very much like in the Emmaus story. He's there and then he's not. Today, I'd like to focus on what Jesus told his disciples to do. Because you see, this book is addressed to an individual named Theophilus, which means lover of God or possibly beloved of God. So it could be addressed to an individual, or it could be addressed to any of us, couldn't it? In any case, Jesus tells his disciples, wait. Not an easy thing to do. But while they wait, the story continues, we know what they do. They spend their time in prayer. They give themselves over to prayer, which is watching and waiting and listening, being aware and attentive to what God is doing in the world, to that presence in the waiting. This is what they've been waiting for, not some reestablished kingdom of David. This. They pray. And they take care of one another. There are about 120 of them, this opening passage in Acts tells us. Men and women, some whose names we know and some we've never heard of. And yet they pray and they care for each other. That's their job. Now, if you want to know what happens when the Spirit does come, you're going to have to come back next Sunday, okay? Because that's the story for next Sunday. This Sunday, we're just waiting. As they wait and pray and watch and listen, attentive to God's presence in the waiting, as they care for one another, they begin to create a community, the earliest community of the followers of Jesus. They do that simply by waiting and watching. It's hard for us to wait, isn't it? I know it's hard for me to wait, even to slow down. About 20 years ago, I became what's called an oblate of a community of women, interestingly enough, in North Alabama, in Coleman, Alabama, called Sacred Heart Monastery. Now, there's a long story behind this, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I made several visits down there to do workshops. I met another United Methodist pastor who had become an oblate, which is simply a lay person associated with a monastery who takes on certain practices, prayer practices, that they continue through the years, which I have continued through the years. and occasionally they'll go down for a retreat. Well, when I would drive from Nashville to Cullman on retreat, it was usually on a Friday afternoon. It was often through heavy traffic, at least for part of the way. I had to really, really make it pretty quickly to get there in time for evening prayer. I would often arrive just in time for evening prayer. I would rush into the chapel where all the sisters were. They would begin to speak and sing psalms. And I have to tell you, my motor was still running at 60 or 70 miles an hour. And every line of every psalm at the end, they would pause. And it just drove me crazy. Because it was too slow. They were not in my rhythm. I was ready to go. Let's get on with this. Let's move ahead. But every single end of every single line, there was a pause. As if they were waiting for the words to soak in, to move in them and through them, to surround them. It usually took me the entire retreat to change to their rhythm. But by the time I did, I realized you can actually listen to the psalms if you pause at the end of every line. You can actually hear something in that silence that you never hear in the words. Waiting and watching and praying. If you just take a little time. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to teach a class at Wesley Seminary in Washington, D.C. The class was called A Word Out of Silence, Narrative Spirituality and Preaching. And since it had the title, A Word Out of Silence, we began every morning session and every afternoon session with a period of scripture reading and silence. Most of those scriptures were psalms. Except there were a couple of exceptions. This scripture was read, the scripture for next week was read. But as we read the text, we would then take about 10 minutes of silence to just see what rose out of the text, what words, what images spoke to us, infused us with God's presence. We simply listened and waited and watched. You know, we do a lot of outside listening. We hear someone mowing the lawn next door, or we hear the beeping of a truck backing up nearby. But we don't often do that interior listening. When Scripture infuses us and moves in and through us, and we listen to that word that arises out of silence. Once we had spent 10 minutes in silence, we would read the same text out of a different translation, and then we would spend 10 more minutes in silence. After which I would ask the students in the class, what did you hear in the silence? And you would be amazed at some of the things that spoke to each of those students. Out of the silence, they began to hear things they had never heard before in scriptures that were really pretty familiar to all of us. At the end of the week, I asked them what was the most important part of the week for them. And in several cases, people said it was the opportunity to hear scripture and then sit in silence and just listen. You see, there is a presence in the waiting. Just as those disciples waited long ago, giving themselves to prayer, when we do that, there is a presence in that waiting. If we slow down, if we can be silent, if we can listen for it, the word that comes out of silence. In each case, both of those communities cared for each other, just like those early disciples. Of course, it was a very formal situation in the monastery where those sisters cared for each other. But even 2 weeks ago in the class, half of the class had spent 2 years together. This was their final course. The other half of the class were taking this as an elective. And they might have been taking their very first class at that point. And yet in our conversations, in the silences, in the listening, those who had been together for 2 years welcomed those who were new, and those who were new integrated with those who had been together for 2 years. And by the end of the week, we had community. People caring for each other there and exchanging information so they could care for each other when they went back home to whatever parish or ministry in which they were serving. You know, we too are going through a time of waiting. We're waiting for Michael Williams to retire, right? We're waiting for Carol Cavan-Dillon to come and for Brandon Baxter to come. And some of you are waiting for that retirement with some grief. And some of you are waiting for that retirement with some relief. And some of you are looking forward to that new person with great excitement and enthusiasm. I know I am. I think Carol is going to have a great experience here. I think she's going to be good for this congregation, and you're going to be good for her. But as with all change, we're also awaiting for that transition with a good deal of anxiety. As we welcome Carol and Brandon, that transition really is simply our handing off a baton. I have run a leg of this race. Chris has run a leg of this race. I'll be handing that baton to Carol. He'll be handing that baton to Brandon. They'll pick it up, and with you, they will continue within the community in which we have been living here, the community that we have created together. And they'll be taking it to places as you continue in prayer, as you continue to look and listen and be quiet and hear where God is leading you and what God is doing in and through this congregation. And as you continue to care for each other, to care for those who are grieving and to care for those who are relieved, to care for those who are excited in anticipation, and to care for those who are anxious about the change. We, like those disciples, are in this time of waiting. And I can tell you, there is absolutely no telling what God is going to do in and through this congregation in the future. You can't predict it, you can't control it, but you can hear it if you become quiet and listen. And you can be a part of it. That's the wonderful thing. And we learn these lessons from communities like those sisters at Sacred Heart Monastery. We learn from communities that come together even for a short time like those students, and yet care for each other and listen to what God is doing, that presence in the waiting. And on this particular weekend, we remember those who are waiting for folks who will never return. A chair that had someone sitting in it last year doesn't this year. Or someone sitting in it 5 years ago, or 10 or 20 years ago. This weekend we remember those whose lives are lost to war. But that's true for any family who has experienced that kind of loss under any circumstances. We learn to wait for those who we will only see again, as that beautiful bidding prayer in the Lessons in Carol's service said, on another shore and in a greater light. And so I want to end with a prayer, which I think is something of a poem as well, as an offering for those who've experienced that loss, but also for those of us who are learning from them and others how to wait and to experience the presence in the waiting. Will you pray with me? God of us all, whose desire is that all your children live as one, we offer thanks for all those who have died in war while praying for and seeking to serve the cause of peace. We pray for their families, our sisters and brothers in sorrow, that they may know your constant companionship in grief and your healing presence in that empty seat at the dinner table and in that empty space in their home and hearts. We also remember those who return home wounded in body, mind, soul, or spirit. May their night terrors end and the anxieties of the day cease. May they find their comfort in the presence of the one who was wounded by our refusal to live his message of peace. May we all hear your good news in a way that empowers us to work with you toward that day when swords shall be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In the name of the one called Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We tell our stories and affirm our faith in many ways. Sometimes we take that from historical confessions, and sometimes we take that from Scripture. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 887 in your hymnal, and let's tell our story together as indicated there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us share signs of reconciliation and forgiveness. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who've gathered to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we want to invite you to join us in Reed Hall following the worship service for coffee and fellowship. It's through the doors to your right, my left. There you'll find Andrew ministers who would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about West End. They'll be stationed both in Reed Hall and also in the Narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary, and you can find them by looking for their blue name tags. In the pew rats in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record any prayer requests you may have on that card. Please indicate if you would like them to be kept confidential or you're okay with us sharing them, and then you can put it in the offering plate when those are passed down the pew in a few moments. If you've not already done so, we invite you to share with us that you're attended today with your presence by signing the attendance pad that you'll find at the end of each pew. And as you pass it back down the pew, please note those who are sitting around you and be sure to especially speak to those that you may not know. Today, the rose that you see on the communion table is to celebrate the birth of Millie Kate Hollett, who was born on May 19th to Emily and Travis Hollett. She's welcomed also by her big sisters, Grayson and Sarah. Let us not cease to give thanks to God who has seated the resurrected and ascended Christ at the right hand of the Holy One in power and great glory. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, in this and every age, for the healing power at work in Christ to fill our world with grace. We pray for our world, for all leaders, people, and nations, that they may exercise a spirit of wisdom as we serve the common good. Shield all who suffer from the terrors of violence and war. Bring them to safety and new life in you. Make us one family gathered up in your love and clothed in the power of your peace. We pray for all who long to experience the immeasurable power of your love. Open our hearts to sing your praises and to share the story of your blessing, that all may come to know our living and ascended Christ. Bless your people everywhere with food, shelter, health care, and employment sufficient for our flourishing, that all may thrive together by the riches of your grace. And fill us with the joy of for justice that inspires us to do our part for the prosperity of all. We pray for all in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing love and the power of Christ to bring life in the most difficult times. Keep us mindful of the hope and great power that we have in you as we offer your healing to others. O God of glory, sovereign of all nations, the risen and ascended Christ calls us to carry your message of life to all people. Led by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we witness always to the hope to which we are called as we share Christ's love to the ends of the earth. All this we pray in the name of him who has raised to live and reign in power for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has given us the gift of Christ, risen and ascended for the life for the world. Therefore, let us offer our gifts in return that others may know this glorious news.
Thank you.
seated and invite our new members to come forward. So an issue to Chris Jenkins. Chris is a retired neonatal RN who works as a medical volunteer at Siloam Clinic. She is transferring from Broad Street United Methodist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. And then John White and David Best. John is a new business development with RadSource, and David is in materials management with AmSurge. John is transferring from First Presbyterian Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and David from Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. John and David, this first question is for you. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And then to the three of you, I ask, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. The congregation, please stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Chris, John, and David are now entrusted to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. And I invite you to come and greet our new members as you leave worship today in Reed Hall.
Before I send you forth, I want to take a moment to thank God for the blessing that is Caitlin Dowling. Caitlin has been our colleague here for 2 years, and this is her last Sunday with us. She is going to serve as the Associate Music Director and Principal Organist at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. We will miss you terribly. We have been blessed by your presence with us, and we will hold you in our heart as you go. So let's give thanks to God for Caitlin's life and work among us. Now go forth to wait and watch for that presence in the waiting. Go forth to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God is always present with us. Jesus Christ is God present with us as one of us, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to walk in Jesus' way this day and every day. Go in peace.